Freedom Fiend broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Fairy Studios. We alter your locus Aurelius by warning your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. What this does, dear folks, is it warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 369 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism and an arc full of authoritarianism out of your brain. Can you feel it? It's full squirm of worms. Is it working? Can you feel it?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can feel it.
Remember, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anybody except government agents, or the SWAT team from the School District of Philadelphia. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. Freedom Warning, this is the Trigger Weens. Happy Trigger Weens to you all. I'm Steve Miller. Say hello to the people, James.
Hello, it's Jim Babb.
Oh, not droned yet. Also I'm with here. Us, we have... Live in Maine, we have Chandler.
Worms.
And on the Strong Island, Jeremy is with us this fine day.
Yes, I am. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, wonderful. And dear friends in Spooner, we are here to celebrate a wonderful holiday that's coming tomorrow here in North Philadelphia, from which I broadcast to you folks, and that is Bernie Eve. So tomorrow, Bernie Sanders, the man himself, is coming to do faith healings in North Philadelphia, where he is going to heal college students of having a plan for economic success and having practical applications for their lives. And he's going to widen their eye cavities, and he will go and he's going to say some words, and it is going to apparently do some things. And yeah, a lot of
people will be visiting individual safe spaces and comforting scared students that may have seen like Trump 2016 chalked on the sidewalk.
You know what? If I were not doing it's 1 to 3. It's so we're doing the show from 1 to 3 a.m. right now. And if I didn't have something to do early tomorrow morning, that would give me the greatest idea, because I would head
just
there with chalk
Trump
right now.
All over the place. Just to
oh man,
just to traumatize those poor children. It's kind of mean spirited, but it would be funny.
Also, it rained today, and yeah. So I don't know how successful that would be. So,
are you going to go to what are they calling it? Burnpocalypse, Bernie Mania, feel the burn mania. What is it?
Yeah,
Burnadelphia. No, what is it?
So there's Burnadelphia, but I really feel it's weird because it's like the Beatles landing. It's the Vermont invasion to rival the British invasion. And he's going to show up. Hopefully an owl comes, because he had that thing where the one bird showed up at the one rally. And Temple's mascot is the owl. And it would be great if they had a trained owl that showed up. And
just to gouge his eyes out?
Oh, gosh.
What? That's so awful.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah, but does Bernie know what they do to banjo players in Philly? I don't know if he's aware of what they do to these folk people. They show up from Vermont with their folk songs and their communism and their kumbaya, and Fish and Wildlife just beat you. So look out, Bernie.
All I'm saying is the people want bread and circuses, and what I'm offering is a 5 for $4 filled with GMOs at Burger King, followed by Bernie getting his eyes pecked out by a trained owl. That's what I'm offering in North Philadelphia tomorrow. Anybody who wants to come.
That sounds fun.
Please bring your trained owl, because I don't have that part locked down yet.
See, that sounds a lot more fun than it's going to go
in. I don't know. I asked a lot of people for ideas on like how to troll this thing, and nobody came up with anything all that good. And like,
do it just like you did for the Pope, right? Isn't that really? It's kind of the same thing,
leave
right?
Leave town.
Probably the same bet. Yes, is to just get out of the way, hide your valuables. You know, don't leave your car in the street.
If I had valuables, I wouldn't be living in North Philadelphia to begin with.
Ah.
This is true.
Okay. My only valuable is the thing that's there ostensibly to protect my valuables, which is kind of ironic, but whatever.
Well, see, it's probably going to be horrible, and I wouldn't want to have to deal with that. But at least it's not going to be the Trump rally that I'm going to have, because they got protesters and stuff. It's going to be violent over here in my neck of the woods tomorrow.
I feel good for the muggers, though. They're probably going to make some good money tomorrow, like some wide-eyed kids coming out, you know,
they're not gonna,
thinking that all's right.
If they're Bernie supporters, they don't have any money. What are the muggers going to get?
Listen, if you got the merch, you can make a fortune smashing capitalism. Okay, so more power to those kids. Yeah. Bernie t-shirts,
Bernie's face on
$10 Jay. At the end of the day, right?
No, a fight for 15.
Ooh.
You fight to get 15 for a t-shirt. You hold them down. You restrain them until they give you $15. See,
these
things go viral. You can't control them.
Their means of production. If you see them with more Bernie shirts than you have, you could just take them. Right.
1% of the bootleg Bernie shirt vendors control 99% of the shirts. That's wrong, and that must change. I saw it on a meme on Occupy Democrats. Therefore, it must be true. By God, it was in black and gold print, and it was. Do not get me started on Occupy Democrats, because you know I get really meme triggered when the mention of that website comes up, even though nobody mentioned it except for me. But whatever. I hate that website.
Yeah, I made the mistake of going there once. It just made my brain explode.
Going.
How long were you in chemotherapy?
Long enough, man.
I'm still not convinced that they're not the greatest troll.
Jim and
ever.
I met at Occupy. Do you know this? I wouldn't be on Freedom Fiends if it weren't for Occupy Philly. I'm 100% serious.
Well, it would have been maybe another way, but that definitely was worth going for me. I got to meet Steve Miller, you know. It made all those just seeing those dirty hippies made it worth it. You know, so.
And you were somebody that had a sense of humor about it. And I feel that anybody who had a sense of humor in a situation like that, like, sought each other out, and like, we found each other all pretty quick. And it'll be the same way at the Bernie rally tomorrow. Like, I feel like everybody will have like really wide eyes and be like feeling the burn. And then there'll probably be a couple people there that are either writers or that are there to troll them or that are just there to like laugh at everybody. And those people are probably going to be fairly easy to spot. But
how about those old dudes from the Socialist Party that they set up with their pamphlets that are poorly mimeographed from 1972, you know, and they sort of have a fashion style like similar to Karl Marx. You know what? The people I'm talking about?
Thankfully, no.
we get all the kinds in Philly, that's for sure.
One time when I was like 17 years old, I asked this guy what he did for a living, and he said, "I sell socialist newspapers at protests," and I laughed in his face.
That is brilliant. That is.
I'm like, I refill the salad bar at a diner, and I just laugh at you.
I think it's brilliant. Well, Ben Stone, you know, remember, part of his core advice is, you know, profit from the failures of government, okay? And socialism is probably, you know, the epitome of, you know, everything, you know, wrong with government in one package. Sell some t-shirts. Do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah!
If you can sell shirts to Bernie people, please do, and please put some kind of subliminal message in there that they won't even know about, but they'll walk around with for forever. Maybe a quote from the Unabomber. Have you thought about turning your famous meme into a T-shirt for this?
I felt the burn at Temple. Yeah, and then like have it be, I don't know. There's ways to do it. But the problem is getting these shirts printed in, you know, 6 hours, because the burn shows up at 5 p.m. tomorrow. And nobody in this town is competent, because, you know, we live in a socialist society. So right.
They're all union people.
Yeah, they're union. Like, they'll get it done in maybe 3 weeks. But yeah, if you
Teamster
need
regulations say it takes 3 weeks, you know, sorry.
Yeah. Like, if I spoke Korean, I could probably get it done the same day tomorrow. But unfortunately, there's only a couple choice phrases in Korean that I know, such as, thank you, harder, and stay away from my husband.
all very important, I can imagine.
Yeah. the only three you really need to know in any language.
This is true.
Something, yeah, the Steve Miller travel guide has that in the front of the book.
Also the addresses of all the buffets.
Really? That buffets are important when you travel?
Buffets are super important. Yeah. I was trying to find a buffet to take a dude to the other day just to show, cuz it was like the second date, so you need to, you know, you got to lay it down like super sexual style. You got to be like, "Yo, time we got you to a buffet." But nah,
is this sort of a test for you as you're evaluating their qualifications, or is this just feel?
Yeah, I want to see you eat, because I want to see if you have like competitive eater potential. Do you follow competitive eating, any of you?
Thankfully, no.
No.
Well, you know, as an amateur, Jeremy, of course. But
yeah, I want a dude who could maybe go pro.
categories?
Really, any. Different foods require different skills. There's a comedian I know, Nicole Yates. Nicole, if you're listening, bless your grind. And she was in this. She came in, I think, third in the Philadelphia spaghetti eating competition. But I was in her cheering section. Yeah, it was spaghetti and meatballs, and it was how fast you could eat like an entire plate of spaghetti and meatballs. And she was done in, I think, 45 seconds or so.
Wow.
Are these kind of things an American tradition, or is gluttony celebrated?
It's uniquely American.
Well. Yeah.
No, it's pretty much an American. Yeah. And like dipping your hot dogs in soda, like, because you're eating them in hot, like, no other country thinks of that. Because
you don't have time for saliva to soak into the bun. You just have to dunk and shove, right?
No, you're not, because...
Well, yeah. I was going to say, there's like an art. I mean, I have watched some of them. Everybody has their own little technique. Some of them will jump the entire thing.
You were going to say it was an art form, were you? Were you going
to? No. Well, to them it is. Well, okay. You know what? You're sitting home late at night. You catch one of those. You get impressed because you're a little delusional. It says, "Wow, look at those guys go!" And they pull it. You know, some of them just dunk the entire bun and the hot dog in like a giant bowl of water at once. Others separate it. I don't know.
And think of the hope it gives to fat dudes everywhere. Like, you know, you could be good at something too.
Exactly. It's inspirational.
Google Eater X. That's all I have to say. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
There we go.
Perfect timing.
He's the phone.
We are back here on the Freedom Eats. Steve Miller. And before the break, we were talking about Eater X, an important figure in American history. He is the reigning Coney
Fiend
Island.
Fiend phone.
Professional eating champion. Now, in addition to hot dogs, Eater X, Tim Janis is his actual name, is a devout Christian and also holds the records for the following. Tiramisu. He ate 4 pounds of tiramisu in 6 minutes.
Wow.
He ate 71 tamales in 10 minutes. 26 6-inch cannoli in 6 minutes.
Oh.
10 18-ounce burritos in 12 minutes. 10.5 pounds of ramen noodles using chopsticks in 8 minutes. 14.3 ounces of pork rinds in 6 minutes. 141 pieces of sushi in 6 minutes. That's impressive.
That's, yeah.
7.79 pounds of buffalo wings in 12 minutes. Nothing on yak, though. Nick, you were supposed to be on the show tonight. You couldn't make it. But if you're out making yak jerky, I need you to make a good, 15 pounds of it or so. And then you need to send it to Eater X. And you need to tell him, I need you to eat all 15 pounds of this yak jerky in 6 minutes because Joey Chestnut was able to do it in 9.
Poor guy's stomach.
And tell him that. And this will get a huge publicity boost for the entire yak economy. This is our ticket. It's through competitive eating. This is how we make our millions. This is bun sales.
Are all these competitive eating people large people? I mean, I saw the Japanese guy that ate all the hot dogs, but
he was tiny.
Most of them are.
Unfortunately,
right?
He's tiny. Yeah, unfortunately, that Japanese man was very tiny. but Tim Janis is no larger than myself. I'm 6 feet, maybe 190 pounds, and Tim Janis is roughly the same. And he ate 2 gallons of chili in 6 minutes.
Wow.
So
I'm probably biased because when I think of like eating contests, the only thing I can think of is that scene from Stand By Me
with the pies.
Yeah, and the castor oil. Yeah, no.
Yeah, that'll definitely get you. They're not very big. I don't know how they do it. I mean, the chili one seems like it would be easy to go down. Coming back out, on the other hand, I would not want to be anywhere near him for a week or two, but
just a gallon full of chili helps the championship go down.
Fiend phone.
Well, see, I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess if you could do the hot dogs, like the burritos and the tamales, like none of those seem really like that much different. But the tiramisu and the cannolis, like that much just sugar and cream or whatever. Like,
Little known other fact about Eater X, he was also the first person to try to get drunk on non-alcoholic beer because O'Doul's has 0.02% alcohol, and he drank 28 of them. He drank like three or four cases of it, and then blew like he blew like one quarter of the legal limit, and then he was like, it's just not possible to drink enough of this. He's like, you'd have to drink about 15 cases, and by the time you did, whatever you drank first would start to be gone. So it's just, it's not possible.
You know what, you're better off with like vanilla extract or something like that. How many bottles of vanilla extract straight could he drink, you know?
What I want is for the government to get involved, because what's bound to happen is somebody's going to get hurt from competitive eating, and then they're going to have to regulate it, and it'll be like boxing, where you have a state competitive eating board.
Competitors, like, and who's going to rule on that? Like, are you going to allow Bruce Jenner to compete? You know,
it's going to be banned in certain states. It's too much controversy.
If competitive eating is outlaws, only outlaws will competitively eat.
Exactly. Well, you can see California banning it right away. They'll claim fat shaming.
It's probably already banned. Also in Manhattan, and because it's not on the list of four things that are legal in New Jersey, it's also illegal there. So
I didn't think of that, but yeah.
Interestingly, bribery is one of the things that's legal. It's on the list of four that is legal in New Jersey. Bribery is one of them.
Yeah,
not legal in other states. But legal there.
Yeah,
I've been spending a lot of time in Delaware, and let me tell you, every time I make a transaction, I do a little dance about not having to give the state 8% in sales tax every time I buy something. So if you are in Delaware, listen to this.
Yeah,
I don't really drink, but yeah,
still a good place to buy booze.
It's a good place. I'll buy you some booze, James Babb.
Yeah, do it.
And we'll feed the homeless with the booze. We'll discuss that when we get back. Our plans to feed the homeless of Kensington.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Fiends. We're down to a three-quarter squirm. Jeremy, Steve, I'm Jim. All right. So we're talking about this unsung hero of competitive eating that I'm really learning a lot about thanks to
Rocky the competitor. This is not what I planned to come on the show and talk about tonight, but I'm totally cool with talking about competitive
really
eating for as long as you want.
Yeah. So now there's betting opportunities. There's sponsorships, or like do teams like have more than one eater in their team, like a race car team, or how does this work?
There aren't syndicates like there are in racing. No, you can go to the national hot dog eating competition.
Families.
It's free.
They're like families that do this, like the Earnhardts.
Yeah,
competitive eating. Okay,
there is one family out of Oklahoma, I believe, called the Rumpuses. And yeah, there's like four of them, and the mom's as big as a house, but that's kind of rare because it's an individual event, and you know, you go and you either eat 18 burritos in 9 minutes or you don't, and that's that. And there's only so much your ma and pa can teach you to do, but the big event, the World Series, as it were, is always that hot dog eating competition. And
sushi? I'm guessing there's a sushi contest.
Eater X holds the sushi eating title.
Okay, is that held in like Asia somewhere, or Japan, or Polynesia? Where is that?
San Francisco, I believe.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, the home of sushi, I see. Yeah, okay.
Home of sushi wool.
Have you ever thought about attending such an event? That might be
Eater X is opposed to homosexuality. This was a thing. He tweeted he tweeted about how he thought that homosexuality was against God's will or whatever, but I don't care. Like
but eating 92 hot dogs, that's what God had in mind. Okay. So
and God said you shall go to the field with the 87 pieces of sushi and you shall eat them for in exactly 6 minutes or less.
Did he not get the memo on gluttony, or is that am I thinking?
Isn't that one of the deadly sins?
What he does is not gluttony. What he does is not gluttony. What he does is athletics, and I will go to my death defending what he does. Yeah,
that's fair.
If you haven't been to a live competitive eating event,
I have not.
You would. No. It's like one of these bands.
The excitement and energy in the air must be incredible.
I know you go away for the summer, Jim, but if you and your lovely wife and either of your kids, I know Dorothy would probably be into going. If any of you want to go up next July 4th for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition, I'm 100% down to go. It's Coney Island. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could get Chinatown bus for $8 round trip. You make a day of it. It's at noon too, so you like leave early in the morning, and then you normally get back by like dinner time or so. And I was gonna go last year, and then that wound up being the year Eater X won, and I would have loved to have been there. So that just shows me never ever skip the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition. As long as it's free, you still go. Okay. You know. Yeah, but Eater X is another thing he got in trouble for was in 2007. So he was in the hot dog eating competition, and it's on ESPN, and the hot dog eating competition is the day before the new Harry Potter book gets released, and Eater X walks on stage, and he's got a sign that says Hermione dies at the end, and everybody is spoiler triggered. And
that is live trolling. That is
he actually walked out of there.
Yeah, And people got mad, and he had to issue all sorts of apologies. And to this day, people are mad at him.
Why did
about
he apologize?
It's like a decade later.
What? Why did he apologize?
Because his life is all about redemption and forgiveness and eating 190 pieces of tiramisu in 5 minutes. Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we've all fallen short of Joey Chestnut. You know,
it sounds like he is this Eater Rex character is a hero, but he's a flawed hero, right? Would you say he's a reluctant hero that like just ended up in this position, or do you think he like this was his goal early in life?
I don't think he's the hero we need, but I think he's the hero we deserve, is Eater Rex. And I would hope that if I'm caught in a burning building, that the person they send in is not like somebody who's there to save me, but somebody who can 100% eat 2 gallons of chili in 6 minutes if needed.
Wow. You know where
might be five alarm chili.
Yeah. You know where I think he should really try to apply himself would be perhaps running for president with the Libertarian Party. I think he really would bring a lot to the race, and he certainly has skills, right? Right now we need more candidates in the race.
What's your opening statement? I'm going to eat 24 Twinkies in the 45 seconds you give me for my opening statement.
This is and in fact, it's going to be preferable to whatever Gary Johnson would do for that time period. Okay? Well,
you would be okay. If you coupled that with the ability to shut down any heckler, you would be 100% unstoppable as a candidate.
Well, even that alone, I think, makes him better than everybody else in that field. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I might be getting drowned.
Anyway, well, if you see him, maybe just mention it to him. You know, I'd
be like, yo, you ever thought about going pro?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Anyway, so you mentioned you're in Delaware, but you told me you don't know anything about Punkin' Chunkin'. Okay, have you even heard of this before? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what this is either.
This is where pumpkins are shot either through catapults, trebuchets, or steam cannons or compressed air, where they go up to a mile. And these are enormous rigs they bring out. Some are smaller. Some are, there's different classes, different styles. A lot of mayhem, a lot of pumpkins flying around, and it's kind of like the only thing to do I know of in Delaware.
So. Well, is it, what's the purpose? Are they shooting for distance? Like, is it a contest, or is it just for fun?
It's very competitive.
Okay.
Very competitive. And if the thing is, if you apply too much power to a pumpkin, you get pie, and it just sprays pumpkin bits. It's a real skill to be able to apply the maximum amount of force to a pumpkin to get it the right trajectory, and it's very serious. So I thought maybe maybe this would be an opportunity for Steve Miller to do some kind of like betting on the different cannons, on the trebuchets, you know, start taking odds. I don't know how that works, but
no, Steve could do it. That's not a good idea, because you forgot about my lifelong burning hatred of Gallagher. And I talk about
there'd be flashbacks. This could be a triggering event.
It's going to be a triggering event because I hate Gallagher so much.
Wasn't he in a taxation is like, or say it meme? Right. Well, I could have sworn they brought him in. Okay, I'm mixing those two up. Some other loudmouth comedian from the past.
It might be him, but I guarantee you that.
No, it was Sam Kinison. You're right. I was mixing those two up. Gallagher's the one that had. He was from the 80s.
In his grave. Yes.
Was he from the 80s?
Yes, and
he's still around, isn't he?
Did he dress like
Mork from Ork? Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And he smashed things.
And he would smash fruit.
Sorry,
He had a mallet, and he would smash watermelons, and that was the big thing.
Hey, gig's a gig. Everybody's good at something, Steve Miller.
If you're you can call me old-fashioned, Jim James Babb, but I think if you're a comedian, you should make audiences laugh with material you wrote, and not with smashing fruit on them. That is non-creative.
Is he the only comedian that has a splash zone in the front two rows? Do they pass out SeaWorld?
I think Paul Rubens for a while too, but for different reasons.
Phil Hartman, but too soon. All right. Anyway.
Ouch.
Did I get droned, or did the joke just bob that?
it was just over my head, and I was trying to think of the name of that guy that Michael Dean talks about, who's buried in Lancaster.
Hubert Selby Jr. Jr. It's every show.
No,
you're talking about G.G. Allen.
Yeah, that's it. Right, I was thinking he probably had a similar problem with splash zones on the audience. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that was feces and urine and. Yeah, that was the good thing about G.G. Allen shows, is that there was always an array of different bodily fluids. It was never the same thing every time. With Gallagher,
you got to mix
same
it up in showbiz. If you give the audience the same bodily fluid show after show, they get bored.
And give them a couple fresh diseases with their bodily fluids every show too. You know, like maybe you could
cholera track
some things along the way. Yeah, get some old school ones from people that didn't vaccinate. Maybe you get a little measles in there for the people. Some
fecal coliform bacteria. Well,
some mumps.
The way he lived, I'm pretty sure that was the case.
And have that, people of East Cleveland. G.G. Allen played the Agora in Cleveland, Ohio, my hometown. Believeland, Ohio.
Did he?
And now he's dead, so that's that.
Yes, I know. I'm supposed to be taking a pilgrimage to his gravesite.
During Pork Fest. Are you going to do it?
Yeah. Well, I told Michael
he
would.
Bipcot his gravesite.
Yeah. If we can actually find
the
site.
Don't know where his gravesite is. It's unmarked. He's like a common criminal that was hanged by for treason or whatever.
It's actually it is, and it just coincidentally, it's actually on the Rogers campground. It's actually there. It's right behind the dumpsters where the bears hang out, and where he illegally buries trash. There, that's right where. That's right where it is.
Are you going there? Are you going this year?
I'm going. Yeah, I'm going, but I'm not sure how to really handle the whole situation. I'm just, you know, all my friends go up there. I'm going. I'm not going to let them stop me. But it's kind of sad about the way the thing is, you know, fractured now. People
deteriorating.
Yeah,
it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah. No, this is going to be my first year, too. I'm kind of bummed.
Can't we win one for Lysander? You know, can't you do
It's probably going to be fine. You know, it's just not going to be as great as it could have been. You know, and to me, removing LRN from Porkfest is like, it's kind of like yanking the rug out from under everything. So
I'm going to make I'm going to make you cards to send to the people that can't come that say someone meeses you. More jokes about Austrian economics when we get back from this trip to the market.
A big audience for those.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT No Gov License allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Fiends.
Wow. Relax.
That vamp is vamps. Vamp, vamp, vamp.
We've got a letter here, James Babb. It says, Dear Babby, why is it easier to buy kangaroo in this country than elk? I am on a website right now that will offer to sell you as much ground kangaroo as you want for $8.95 a pound, and they will sell you flank steaks made of kangaroo, 70 pounds worth for $225. But by God, well, 70, 75.5 ounce steaks. That's not the same as 70 pounds. But, you know, not a bad price. And I can't find
it. Do you buy the whole kangaroo? I'm trying to follow that. How much is a whole kangaroo? It's like 275 pounds of kangaroo steaks?
No. It's $275 worth of kangaroo steaks.
Oh, okay.
This is on the Exotic Meats website. Yeah, 75 ounce kangaroo steaks, 22
What if
pounds.
I want like a little baby kangaroo, like a roux, like a little baby roux?
you take like, it directly like an exotic, out of that pocket.
You right, and I want to eat it in like, it. I want it hammered paper thin and wrapped into a sushi roll. Is that?
Yeah, that's probably doable. And if you're Eater X, you could eat the entire kangaroo worth of sushi rolls in 4.5 minutes.
Yeah, but which end would he start at? That's the dilemma when eating a whole kangaroo, you know?
Well, if it's hammered flat, does it really matter?
So you didn't want to get into the specific details of Feeding the Homeless, but I will specifically rule out yak competitive eating. We will not engage the homeless in any sort of competitive eating that involves yak. I will categorically guarantee
kangaroo is still up in the air, right?
Kangaroo is a possibility. We might have kangaroos. Well, see, here's the thing. If you make sliders, can you really call them kangaroo sliders? Wouldn't they be more like hoppers? Kangaroo jumpers.
See, I'm surprised you could still get kangaroo.
Them. I don't know.
I'm surprised you can still get kangaroo meat. I remember
what did the kangaroo
be...
say? What is car wouldn't start? Can you jump me? I don't know.
Oh.
Lame. They're not getting any better. I'm bobbing hard tonight. It's whatever. I don't care.
Never been to Australia. Have you guys been to Australia?
No.
My roommate's been. I've never been.
I hear like everything is like just horribly poisonous there, like all kinds of snakes and spiders. Is that just the mythology they put out to scare away tourists and stuff?
There's nothing in the middle of the country. All the civilization is toward the coasts, and the middle is kind of like their Siberia. And there's a lot of fine looking. Asian
only full of like weird rattlesnakes and like two-headed boa constrictors and mews and I don't know.
I have friends from there. They said the outback's pretty dangerous.
Emu. Yeah. Oh man, I got attacked by an emu today, mate. Like you think people call
and then there was the great frog.
Like
remember like the invasive frog invasion? Remember that? That's like wiped out, almost like killed the entire continent because somebody let the frog loose.
Who let the frogs out? Hop, 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 hop. Who let the frogs out? All right.
They've had like a lot of weird invasive species, like the Europeans when they showed up in the Botany Bay. I guess it was kind of downhill from then on. I think I don't know. Like
yeah.
to go.
Yeah. You don't know where you're not going to Australia. You don't think. They got a bad welfare
away.
State there.
I've always wanted to go,
really
but
high and, yeah, not too great. But you know what is great? Getting alligator tail in a sirloin steak, 5 pounds, $83.
They serve alligator at the anti-state draft house.
Yes, they do. But
talk to him about your exotic game meat you want to feed to homeless people. Is that giraffe is probably available.
I want to feed it to us. We're rant. Ayn Rand would not approve of us, you know, doing anything not self-interested. So if I get expensive yak meat, it's not going out to just anybody. It's going to go out to you so that I can get all of the buttons in your will when you precede me in death.
Yak.
It's all part of my conniving plot.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, we are back for the second hour. This is Jeremy. Got Steve Miller.
Back on the Freedom Fiends.
James Babb.
Steve Miller here with James Babb. And Jeremy, correct?
Can you not hear me? Steve.
Nah.
Steve can't hear me, Kenny.
Chandler, no.
I can hear you.
I thought so.
Okay. No.
Check your slider on Jeremy on Fiend Phone. It might have been accidentally reduced. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There you go. Hey, Steve. Yeah. How you doing?
There you go.
So you were during the break, you were telling us the story about this.
I was cracking up. There's this video I saw on Facebook, and I had to kind of research it. I wasn't sure when it was from, but it says dog calmly playing with kids after cop shoots himself trying to kill it. Okay, so what? you think these kind of stories are the exception, but you actually hear this kind of stuff all the time. So evidently this cop shows up, and this video was from a couple years ago. I had to look around to see where it was really from, but evidently this cop shows up in Riverside County in California to issue papers. This dog wags its tail at him. The cop immediately panics, fires randomly into himself, and so then they're shots fired, everybody panics. There's, I'm sure the whole neighborhood was locked down over this. And and then by the time the news gets there, the dog's playing with these little kids and everybody's chilling out and the cop's being taken away in an ambulance with this self-inflicted wound. I don't know why I'm laughing. Is that funny?
It is funny.
I mean, cops are funny. They're
especially when they don't shoot the dog, right? Well,
exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yakety sacks.
Yeah. If his aim had been a little bit, if he had been less drunk, that story would have had a tragic ending.
But thankfully, he was sloshed.
Even if they had more
try to shoot a dog and just doesn't work out for you.
Don't they practice at the police academy? Do they get go to the pound and get a bunch of dogs and they just... Now when he wags his tail, fire, and the cadets are all there. It's awful.
Well, at least this one had a happy ending.
Want to hear a story, James Babb?
Of course.
So I heard this the other day. So SEPTA, aka Septic, the bus system here in Philadelphia, the transit system here in Philadelphia that also does the trains and what have you.
It's mandatory.
They have these buses that run on these batteries similar to a Toyota Prius, and the mechanics in their shop looked at the batteries on the top of the bus and they said, hey, these are the same fuel cells that are in a Toyota Prius. We could save a bunch of money if we went around to all the junkyards, bought up all the Toyota Priuses, tested all the cells, took out the ones we could use, and then put them in the buses and then just ran like that. And then they would longer than if they did. So they did it and it worked, and the buses were running on these for a while, and then one by one like they slowly like start to develop problems, and they take it to the manufacturer, and the manufacturer says, no, you don't have to do this. And I'm sitting in community college hearing this story, and the professor tells the story, and then this one kid raises his hand. He goes, well, how are they going to, why would they void the warranties? I mean, they should know it's Philadelphia and we're ghetto. And I'm like, that's not part of contract law. Like,
it's got a good point, though. It's a key observation. And if you're going to provide service to something like to complex technology in Philly, you need to understand what the environment is. So
yeah,
yeah. Like nobody drives a Prius in North Philly, do they? Like you're just that's not going to happen, is it? Or am I wrong?
Be like, hey, we gave you a bus, and yeah, we sold it for scrap metal. That's how it is.
Do you remember? I don't know if you remember the trolley line, the Route 100 that goes from 69th Street Station. I forget where it goes. Out towards like the main line. Okay, they used to have these cars that they bought from a junkyard that were from like 1930. It would be a pair of trolley cars, and one guy would drive it, and then it'd have another guy who just hung out in the back by the thing where you put your money in. And these things were like literally museum pieces. They bought from a junkyard. The cars were like $750 each for these rail cars.
Nice.
Yeah. See, then the big upgrade. Then it's time for an upgrade. And they're like, hey, you know, we save so much money on those $750 cars. Let's buy these $1 million space shuttle things. Okay. So they're like, yeah, get those giant, literally, these things look like the space shuttle, like shiny aluminum. And they're like, yeah, we're going to get them. Like, yay. Then they're like, oh, wait a minute. They don't fit in the parking space at the station. So they're like, uh-oh. Nobody checked the clearances. So they had to redesign the entire train station in Norristown, if I recall. So anyway, SEPTA. I don't know. Why'd you mention SEPTA?
Because the kid thought that contract law didn't apply because they were ghetto. Like the warranty couldn't be voided because
that clause is actually, if you read your iPhone warranty, if you actually read that thing, it's in there. Yeah. Not in like, Kensington.
Be like, you could jailbreak your iPhone if you've broken out of an actual jail in real life. That's the rule.
Oh, that's man. A good rule.
Yeah. How about those guys? Did you hear those guys in Los Angeles? Okay, are taking a vital step towards solving the homeless crisis? Did you happen to see this story? That's what they called it, an important step in solving the homeless crisis. And what they've done is limited the possessions a homeless person can keep with them on the street to fit in a single trash bin. Okay.
There we go.
Your stuff won't fit in a single trash bin. You're now breaking the law in Los Angeles. So, that's.
Well, that'll get them off the streets.
Yeah. I mean, can you believe that? I mean,
I knew teachers who used to carry like a cart full of crap in every day because they would share a room with another teacher. And also, if you don't have a car in LA, like you're going to be putting crap all over, so it's not out of the question that you know. And there's
and you
people
can't leave it in the car because some other cars or whatever will steal it. Yeah,
yeah. Blessings.
So is the state of LA education.
So yeah, Los Angeles City Council. Now this is that liberal compassion we hear about, right? You know. So
oh, yes.
Well, no. It limits if they break the law, you'll give them a place to live.
Sidewalks. Parkways and alleys citywide that homeless people can fit in a 60-gallon container about the size of a city recycling or trash bin. Okay? Yeah. And, yeah, this is, you know, this is what the city councilman says. We recognize this is just one step forward to address the homeless crisis. So it's not his final solution. It's just one step forward to solving this problem.
Man.
People are awful.
So
I'm sorry, sir. You look like you have more than one trash bin worth of stuff, you know?
You're
well, they also have those crazy three strikes laws there, so I'm sure if you have any sort of felony record, like you've already got, like, say, you're receiving stolen property and, like, I don't know, counterfeiting, and then for your third one, you have 91 gallons worth of stuff, and then you're sent away on a life sentence.
And you're like, but it's my all my worldly goods. No! Man!
Should have known better than to get gallon 91.
There's government for you.
Do people really think this is how you address, a problem of homelessness? I mean, are they just like, get it away from me? I don't want to see it. Is that at all costs? I don't get it.
Well, they were banning tiny homes in a lot of these places too. These like little crappy hipster houses that are 100 square feet or what have you. A lot of places are putting the old ban hammer on those now because codes and what have you.
Because, you know what? Because you can't let people do whatever they want to do, okay? There's got to be rules to society, right? What is a Somalia? Live in that home that you built? How dare you?
Yeah, you can't have a crappy home. By God, it's better to have you have no home at all.
Right, it's like they do to these like tent cities. Like this is inhumane to live in a tent city. So we're slashing your tents. Wow, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Now go back to the bus station.
Yeah, really appreciate the assistance there.
Where did that happen? Where they slashed the cities? They slashed the city. Where they slashed the tent cities with the tents with knives?
All those different Occupy encampments. Like, didn't like even Occupy Philly got I don't know.
Well, they got taken down. I don't think they got slashed with razors or what have you. But
that makes for a better
maybe
story.
I'm thinking of that jersey, or I don't know. You know, let me Google it.
I thought you were talking about actual homeless people, not voluntarily homeless people like Occupy. But
I'm googling it so I can see there's
regular story. Flavor homeless, and then there's like hipster homeless, and then there's anyone who says they're conducting a social experiment. Oh, good lord!
Yeah, no. Here's an article. Like, just I just Google it. St. Petersburg police cutting up homeless tents. Florida really hates homeless people, man.
Oh.
Yeah, they do not.
Remember
like
that? Was it somebody in MK's town, Pensacola? Where they outlawed like sleeping on a bench with a blanket. Like, you could be asleep on the bench, but not with the blanket. You know?
Yeah,
they see you with the blanket.
No way. You better freeze.
That's what they mean by addressing it, though. They don't specify.
Like Pensacola. That's right. A rough part of Florida, man. I was at a Dollar General one there trying to buy a cooler to keep my drinks on the beach, and the only one available was a Jeff Gordon cooler, and lo, I kept my crap in a NASCAR thing, because when in Pensacola, do as the Pensacolans do. We'll be back after this trip to the market. No Jeff Gordon coolers for sale.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Minor Libertarian Party candidate. The 1% of the 1%. Because
you repeat yourself.
They get 1%. I do. They get 1% of the 1% of the vote. They get 1% of the primary to get 1% of the vote in the general election.
You know, the saddest ones are the ones that say, yeah, I can win this. Really? I can win this. All I need is $15 from each person. You know, dude, like, you know, why should I listen to anything you say after that? Because you're either just a liar or completely delusional. Either way, you have no business being taken seriously if you say that.
I did that stupid isidewith.com quiz where it shows you which candidate you side with.
And who do you side with?
Mark Allen Feldman was mine when I did it.
Legit. I don't even know who that is.
He's some Jewish lawyer from Pennsylvania.
I met him in Philly, and he seemed like a nice guy. Which separates him from quite a few of the candidates.
He's definitely on a everybody give me $5 and I can win this thing tip.
Poor guy.
But
bless his grind. And then, just like you, Jim, you took it the opposite and you came up with Hillary, correct?
Well, when I picked the opposite of everything, I got a 77% for Hillary and for Trump. Both at 77%, and all the way down to like 1% for Daryl Perry at the end. So I thought, you know what, this really sort of sums it up. I thought, based on the way I answered, that the funny things are where I disagreed with Hillary on. For instance, I said, should marijuana be legal? And I said no. But Hillary says only for medical purposes. So I didn't get 100% with Hillary just by being as totalitarian as I could.
well, I got a really high Trump score. Yeah, when I did the opposite.
What was your Trump score?
My Trump was 80. He was my number one when I did the opposite. I think Hillary came in second, and then Bernie was close in third. I think Hillary was at like 70%, and Bernie was at 69%. But Trump was runaway number one.
The neat thing about that stupid quiz is that it really shows you, like, the fact that I got the same score for Hillary and for Trump, and that like Bernie wasn't far, and like you could really just see how close together, you know, like in like target practice, it's like the spread, you know, like the spread of statist awful monsters was really tight, you know, like.
Well, there's a lot of things that a majority of the American people are just straight up wrong about, but the fact is, it's a clear majority, and nobody's going to go against a clear majority when you're trying to string together 51% of the vote.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know. So. Yeah.
And that's why the system works.
Yeah.
So sad.
That's why you end up with mainstream political candidates talking about their junk during a debate, right? that's where it leads to eventually. So here we are. Yeah, in the current year,
which is funny because
I can't believe it's the current year.
Well, see, I was going to say, you think it's the normally people would assume it's the libertarians that would have the trash talking and stuff like that because they get written off, but they actually.
But we follow the NAP now, the not Austin Peters and Bernie, so that shouldn't be a problem.
I love that. I love that meme.
Poor Austin Plagerson.
But without Austin Peterson, who will plagiarize the articles from Freedom Feeds hosts?
But you know, the problem is, it's like, you know, just when you're like, oh yeah, people really need to know what a jerk Austin Peterson is, then you're like, you realize you're just pushing him right to Gary Johnson, and you're like, gosh, now this guy is—he's not a jerk, but he's constantly showing how unlibertarian he is. It's like he's doing it on purpose.
And his people to bake cakes for other people. I mean, what the heck?
Right. And the other thing is, his life decisions are not guided by an invisible friend named Becky that only he can see, and that's the case for Joy Wehmeyer, who's the candidate for whom I am meme director.
Let me ask you something right now. I want to hire you, Steve Miller, for a meme job. Okay.
Yeah.
For Daryl Perry. I think he needs some memes. He needs a tactical meme. And how much would it cost me to just say, like, hire you to create like one awesome meme for Daryl Perry?
You could just give it to me in Litecoin and it's good.
How about if I give you my what was that Namecoin? No, not do you know about Namecoin? Yeah,
yeah. Do you know about Tagcoin? Tagcoin goes up in value every time Michael Dean mentions you in a comment on Facebook.
And wow! I guess you've cornered the market already.
Yeah, I own 97% of the outstanding float of Tagcoin that's out there. because I get tagged.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Pretty woo. Pretty heavy on the woo. These people did something.
You guys
something
want to talk about Panama Papers?
Yeah, let's talk about Panama Papers.
Okay. I don't know anything about it, so let's try to quickly.
Well,
you want to talk about
one of us try to know something.
You want to talk about a subject that none of the three of us know anything about? Sounds good. Well, here goes.
The basic story is that, you know, these leaked so-called leaked documents came out that what did you say, Charlie Frank James, as Time Magazine put it, confirmed what 99% of the population already believed anyway.
Yeah, let me see if I can get the actual Time headline, because I thought that's kind of like a buried lead in the story.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, rich people hide their money. Okay, yes, because especially people here in the States, they get, you know, taxed at ridiculous rates, and of course, and I'm sure the story about the leak was supposed to mean that certain people, I guess, were hiding their money, which just prove, you know, of course nothing can be done about it, politicians and stuff. Although the one thing I did see was the what'd you say? I guess he is the prime minister, whoever runs Iceland.
This is quite. Check out this headline.
Oh, did you find it?
The Panama Papers could lead to capitalism's greatest crisis. Leak shows what much of the world's. Oh, you know, I'm sorry, I misinterpreted it. It says leak shows what much of the world's 99% believes.
Oh, okay.
What does that even mean as a sentence? That is awful. Leak shows what much of the world's 90, unless they change the byline since I read it before.
Well, no,
there's no verb in that sentence, I don't think.
I thought it was like link, you know, link.
Well, no,
shows what 99% of people believe.
Yeah, but that's even worse, though. That's like such a biased headline, because that makes sense because it's Time, because they're talking about the so-called 99%.
And the fact that this is capitalism's great crisis.
Yeah, this is capitalism's crisis. Oh my dear, this has nothing to do with capitalism. This is like, this might be the farthest thing from capitalism.
All right,
this is fascism. That's the problem.
Let's go right into this for the next segment.
The next segment? Are we on the segment?
Are we?
Yeah, I think we are on the radio. But I was just talking about the one thing with the Iceland the president, which is funny, because we were joking about that with the one meme that's always gets floated around about Iceland, how they threw out the bankers, and there's some, you know, that, you know, something that America doesn't do. But apparently he got caught up in this. He was one of the names that got found out in the leak. While he was being investigated for this was while he was trying to broker a deal between the people and the government after they threw out the bill. Like he was supposed to be, you know, part of the solution of throwing out the bankers.
Right. See, we've got a great government here that they arrest the bankers, right? Yeah, it's Iceland. You know, wrong. Anyway. Yeah. It is the funny, though, the way people react to this, like literally Time Magazine, capitalism's great crisis, you know, like seriously, who didn't know that the elites structure tax laws to benefit themselves? Like, this is somehow news. I don't even get it. Like, really? Surprised by it, I guess.
Well, there are the hardcore, the very hardcore government supporters out there that still don't believe these things when they come, because, you know,
cat muffers.
Exactly. You know, for the same reason they don't know anything about the Fed or anything about that. Their eyes usually glaze over when they hear these topics.
They're like, what? What? Rich people aren't paying their fair share? What? This is awful. Capitalism doesn't work. See, yeah. because rich people are taking their money overseas to avoid these taxes, we need to raise taxes.
Yep.
Right? Is that the Bernie Sanders strategy to this problem?
Well, that's most of the politicians' solution to the problem. even half the so-called Republicans want to do stuff like that.
The Kremlin has dismissed allegations as a series of fibs aimed at discrediting Putin ahead of elections. Okay, so he's out there. He's like, nope, not going down on this one, guys. I'm just going to... Of course he's in on it, right? Like, seriously. What world leader is plundering their country and then like keeping it all, you know, reporting it all to the IRS?
Get them on tax evasion like Al Capone.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was interesting. Gotcha, what do you know about this international consortium of investigative journalists, which published this massive leak? Okay. International. It sounds like somebody doesn't want to be the next Ed Snowden. It's like, who are you mad at? It's an international consortium, okay? It's not that you can't say, oh, it was those Russians, or oh, it was those French, or it was the, you know, it's an international consortium. Stop. You're not going to hunt us down. Or maybe they are. I don't know. Are they going to hunt these people down, or?
You got to imagine if this wasn't. Well, actually, because when you think when you mention that, now you start to think, well, maybe this was just put out there to try to give some false sense of security to people. I don't know that like this is news.
It's
now.
11 even though they already knew million it. Documents, which date back four decades, okay, which are connected to this, allegedly connected to this Panama law firm, Mossack Fonseca, I guess. Anyway, secret shell companies, offshore accounts, you know. I guess people just don't realize, like, yeah, when you're rich and you have money, you've got all the resources to find ways to protect your money. It's the middle class and the poor people that are too busy scraping by to learn how to protect themselves from the taxes. So I hope people learn a lesson and try to get their own offshore shell accounts and find ways to avoid theft.
Yes, I thoroughly support tax evasion.
But you know, it's not like I'm going to have sympathy though for these political leaders that manipulated the laws to create investment opportunities and like, I mean, these people are criminals. I'm not justifying their behavior. You know, the behavior that I think is justified are people that are earning money legitimately and trying to hide it. So obviously, a big difference there.
Sure. Well, it's not even like, because, I mean, what was it? It was in Panama. So, like, that's one of the countries that has these lax regulations, which, you know, most people look at those and say, oh, they're lax. It's horrible, you know, because they think of the idiotic term deregulation that they actually think happens here. But I'd say those countries are actually ahead of the curve.
They see opportunities in trying to attract businesses by not, you know, being like completely predatory, right? They're like, look, we're going to give you a little bit of room to operate a business without completely draining you dry in your first year. What do you say? I don't know.
Exactly, because I skimmed through a couple articles on this, and the one thing I came across in places that I didn't, you know, more like mainstream pieces, I guess, that I didn't really expect it, that they even they admitted that, like, oh, like, you know, there's actually legitimate reasons for shell companies. So it's like, yeah, exactly. If like you were saying, like, if the middle class and people like that could get to it, sure, there's legitimate reasons for it. So why not go for it? Do anything to get your money out of the system.
Bitcoin, well, yeah. Open bazaar, you know. There's ways to get around this. I mean, what if we all just had open bazaar stores, decentralized trading, selling to each other with Bitcoin, and just
I don't know too much about that yet. I only you were talking about that before. I only caught the headlines about that. What's the big deal with that open bazaar?
Well, open bazaar is software you run, and anybody, as I understand it, can create an online store, and you can either have it on your own computer And it's going to be as anonymous as your computer is. It's going to be as anonymous as your Bitcoin account is. So to some, they can do a good job of protecting that. Other people don't care about that. So, you know, it is, to me, the sort of the solution to the Silk Road problem. Instead of having the central point of weakness, this is peer-to-peer and, you know, creates an opportunity for a global marketplace without a central server. So
let's see if
the, you know, that's the promise, at least. I just started it. I'm going to start a store. Derek Slopey and Agoras Hosting are going to do Open Bazaar hosting. So if you don't want to have this store running on your own computer 24/7, maybe you want to do more volume, you can put it, they have a hosting service now. So just Open Bazaar. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I think there's going to be all kinds of neat opportunities for small businesses to start to you know, create things. Anybody can now have their own store.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that's actually really cool. I definitely need to look into that then, because I kind of said offhandedly when you mentioned it earlier that, you know, I have nothing to sell, but, I mean, you brought up the point that, you know, I could buy things, which is good, but that's actually...
And now, it's got limitations, though. Like, right now, I don't think there's a client for you can put on your phone. I think it has to be on your computer. You have to use this app. It's Bitcoin only, okay? So there's barriers here, but I think this is brand new, and I think we're going to see people build on this platform and start, you know, start expanding its possibilities. I can't wait to see where it goes.
Oh, sure. Well, I would assume, I mean, this is, I know this is a project, but at least from what I gathered from the people who sent me the information, it's more of like, you know, a group of agorists who kind of put this together. So I'm assuming this is like an open source project. But even, you know, even still, like you said, it may just be the first one, just like anything else. It may just be the first in line, but yeah, that's great. 'Cause that can actually tie in really well to, what I always try to push people for entrepreneurship, people who are scared, you know, too afraid to just, you know, they think they have to jump with 2 feet in to start, you know, to drop what they're doing and start a business. And I keep trying to encourage people just to, like, even if they have to start it as like a hobby, but this is the perfect opportunity to do that. If you have something, some product you make or, you know, that you can provide. Yeah.
And you can build a reputation too. There's a reputation system built into it. There's third party arbiters built into it. You can do the three party signature requirements on contracts for larger items. I think it's got a lot of potential. The question is it going to work? Is it going to be dependable? We'll find out. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that'd definitely be good. But like I said, even if it's not, hopefully it will be, at least for the people involved. but even if it's not.
Anyway, I'm starting up my store. Let's all get a store. Everybody get a store. We'll share them. Why not?
Sounds like a plan.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Third act. There's some good news out there, isn't there? there, Jeremy?
Yeah, there's a there's got to be.
Yeah,
there's a guy. I think you actually know him better than I do, but he's from my neck of the woods. What's his name? Stephen Ruth, right?
Stephen Ruth. Yeah, yes. Suffolk County in Long Island.
Yeah, he's a local hero of mine, actually. he's been...
What has he done that is so heroic?
Well, he took offense to the we have the red light cameras all over Long Island, both Nassau and Suffolk County, which is the biggest revenue generation, I think, for both counties. It blows out anything else away, because these things are going off constantly. They have them at, it started at the biggest intersections, and then it slowly creeped into smaller and smaller ones. One popped up on the block on the corner from my house last year, finally, which is just very inconvenient. He took it upon himself, and I had actually thought of, I kept trying to think of ways that I could do something, but just never came up with anything. But he got creative, he decided to take a stand, and started taking he started walking around with a telescopic pole. And he walked by these cameras, he would slowly raise the pole and point the cameras directly up at the sky.
Yeah.
And then continue on his way.
What a hero. God bless that man. That is a hero.
Exactly.
And he made videotapes of it. You know, he's not even hiding it. He's owning it.
That's how he actually did get, unfortunately, he got caught, because he made videos of it, which I too applaud.
I thought that was his strategy, right? Is to inspire others with his boldness. You could say it's foolhardy. We don't know how it's going to play out for him, but he has inspired many. And, you could say it's courageous, you could say it's foolhardy, but I don't think anybody's going to argue that this kind of action is what is required. Like, there's got to be some kind of pushback. There has to be something.
And
yeah. I saw one video where he pushes up the camera and he goes, I just saved my community $10,000 today, because that's the kind of billings these cameras are generating.
Oh, it's insane. Every one of those tickets is $80. Because it's a $50 ticket with a $30 processing fee. So every time you get caught with those.
Stephen Ruth is fighting it. He's saying, you know what? I did it. Come at me.
Yep.
I did what's right for my community. And, a lot of people consider him a hero. I hope he doesn't, get the hero's treatment from the people that were counting on that revenue. I'm sure they frown on that.
Oh, they are not happy. Well, see, and the thing is, the sad thing is the people of both the counties as a whole actually did show some fight last year, because they, on top of the red light cameras, they also tried to install the cameras in the school zones, and that went over horribly. Because they were ringing people up at a clip that was insane, and they actually turned the cameras on a month before they were supposed to and didn't tell anybody, so everybody started getting tickets in the middle of the summer, and we were all very confused.
There's a strategy that some people have used where you say, like, you take a picture of the license plate of the mayor, okay, or some city council, one of the people responsible for these intrusions. Mm-hmm. You create a cardboard version of their license plate, you put it on your car, and you drive through the red light 25 times, mail tickets to their house.
That is beautiful. So, I'm not
suggesting this type of multiple felonies, okay, but I'm just saying people have done that.
That's
use your own judgment, but I know that if you're caught, they're going to frown on that, but that's some nice payback.
Yeah, that's actually that's brilliant. I would have never thought of that. But yeah, but anyway,
the thing is that people step up, and I like to see, this guy might be a knucklehead, but I'm really just impressed with his courage and his willingness to fight back against these people, because so many people just kind of nod through it and they complain and they grumble, but then one guy says, oh, the hell with that, and you know, he can inspire so many others.
Yes, absolutely. And like I said, I mean, he's a personal hero of mine, and I think he's going to inspire me. I think he's inspired me, and I need to get off my butt and start doing some more of this.
I'm going to visit him in jail, that's for sure. I hope not. Yeah. I don't have to. All right, till next time. Great being with you.
Yes.